So this is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We're just discussing these 64 qualities of Krishna as being part of the vibhav alambanan for the prem vishay. How exhibiting these qualities and having these qualities and displaying them in various ways with his different devotees, it stimulates their love, their rati, vatsalya rati or madhurya rati, sakhi rati. We've been hearing some different qualities about Krishna as Daksha. He's clever, he's expert. And today's quality, what we're hearing today is about 17 is Kritagya. It's 2191 in the Vibhav chapter. Kritagya syad abhigyoya krita sevadi karmanam. The translation here, it says that a grateful person, Kritagya means grateful, as it's translated that way. A grateful person is one, in other words, is Kritagya in one sense. He's aware of what you've done. Krita is like your activities. He's aware. He's aware of what you've done for him or for his associates, and so he remembers that forever. So that he shows his, he reciprocates with your kindness and your actions by his love and mood. A grateful person is one who acknowledges others who have done service. And Srila Prabhupada, our Srila Prabhupada defines it grateful. He says, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent, which means kind and generous activities, and never forgets his service is called grateful. So Prabhupada adds the some important factors here on his Bhavanavada. He's adding the time factor, which is, of course, part and parcel of our eternal existence in this plane. Here we hear a grateful person acknowledges others what they have done. Here he's basically saying the same thing. He's conscious of his friend's good deeds and help. But this phrase is significant. He never forgets the service that he received from some dear person, dear friend, dear relative, a devotee, God sister, God brother. Never forgets. So that's a absolute word, never, which means this year, next to next year, and 10 years and 10 lives. Never forgets. It's what we call an absolute term. Never is never. Not well. Okay, 5 years ago you helped me, but. So what? Times have changed, and I'm a big man now. And But Prabhupada, and many of us, of course, devotees are gentle souls, and gratitude is an aspect of real love. But I'm really touched by Prabhupada's bringing this time factor into the definition, which I think is an important importation to remember that grateful means forever. Okay, you helped me once, so what? You know. Like someone helped me years ago to build this ashram. So every year I know that they're moving in this area, so we contact them and say, please come and stay in your ashram. Room is there. Please give us opportunity to serve you. And they came once, and 7 years were here. But this is one of my grateful files. We all have files of gratitude. We have these computer files on our computers. Well, we have a heart computer also. A heart computer has so many files. So one file is a gratitude file. It has different people's names there. This teacher, this well-wisher, this helper, friendly helpers along the path. And we have thousands of them. So we have thousands of files on our computer, grateful file. And this is the true proof of loving dealings with devotees. And it says, the dati pradigrinati, that loving exchanges, and love itself is eternal, true love. So devotee love, Vaishnava prema is eternal. So if some devotee helps you with some katha, some good advice, then we can never forget them. And even though some other contrary person, less broad-minded person or cripple-hearted person, may come and try to interfere with our files, try to No, what do they say? Erase our grateful files. Oh, no, he was good. She was good. But now they're bad. So now you should think, now they're bad. So throw them away and forget them. But then there was never, you never had a loving exchange with them to begin with. And you never understood what it means to be a bhakta. Because all of us are eternal. We're all together eternally. We're eternally on this plane together as parts of Krishna. And we'll be eternally in the spiritual world together. There's no Gaudiya moth and ISKCON moth and that moth and this moth. There's only math. Math. One and one is one. One take away one is one. M-A-T-H, moth, means math. It means mathematics. So there's Radha and Krishna. One and one is one. And we are for one, and they are for one, and we're all for them. I mean, there's no other math or moth. So we can't, this dualistic vision is Te Dvanda Mohanir Mukta. This is Icha Dvesha Samutina. Dvanda Dristi. Dualistic vision. That's our primordial nature. So working on the quality of gratitude and being grateful and adding more and more grateful files. And it's part and parcel of sadhana bhajan also. That when one is doing bhajan, before chanting mala, maybe not every day because it may be a long list, but occasionally, and in quiet times or when you maybe don't have much to do, or which whenever that is, but you sit down and think, oh, who are my well-wishers? Oh, I remember so-and-so, I stayed with him at Govinda Kund in 1991. Oh, and he's in Nitya Lila. Oh, how is he? And then you start to invoke. You invoke the vision, the form, the teachings, the feelings, the charity, the love that they offered and you collected and forgot about. And then so much, it's anukul for bhakti to remember. And not only just spiritualists, but even a mother, a father, a grandfather, they're real people and real entities and also part of Krishna. So they actually play a positive role if we approach them positively. As we're told by our guardians, surrounded by friends, all are supportive, all are helpful. So our memories are not bad memories. Our contacts are not bad contacts. It's we that have bad vision. It's a very purifying practice to remember those dear ones and then weigh them on the gratitude scale and you see, wow, they were really great and they really helped me. How did I forget them for so long? And I forgot what they've done for me. Because Maya covers us. So this is the definition Prabhupada gives. It's very thought-provoking. He says, Kritagya, any person who is conscious of his friend's beneficent activities and never forgets his service is called grateful. And then there's a citation from Mahabharata by Rupa Goswami Pad, which we'll see what he cites here as a praman, a reference to show or illuminate how Krishna, here's an example of how Krishna is grateful. And this is spoken by Queen Draupadi. And Draupadi's nickname, or what's the, not nickname, but one of her general names was Krishna. Krishna, one who is absorbed in a loving mood and service of Krishna, the personality of Godhead. Krishna and Krishna. So this is Mahabharata. Rinam. It means in debt, I think so. Rinam etat paridham me ridyan napasarpati yad govindeti chukrosha krishna mam dura vasinam. My Krishna is living too far away. Krishna mam dura vasinam. He's too far. Draupadi cried out, O Govinda! Of course, there's that shloka in the Bilvamangala Stotram where Draupadi's Govinda Dama Dharma. O Govinda, though I was situated far away from you, that crying out, when I cried out, that crying out has created an ever-increasing debt which does not leave my heart. So she cried out for Govinda. In a time of need. And of course, Govinda was there. So much sari, unlimited sari coming to protect her chastity. And that time when Dushasana was removing her chastity. her chastity is protected. So this is, O Govinda, though I was situated far away, that crying has created an ever-increasing debt, which does not leave my heart. So she's saying that I have an eternal debt to you. You saved me, you helped me, you responded, you didn't let me down. And I can't forget that. And remembering that brings tears to my eyes and melts my heart. And Prabhupada says here, I mean, here it says, Draupadi cried out, okay? She cried out, Govinda. Well, the Govinda Dhamma Dharamadaviti, there's a beautiful shloka there about that moment and that prayer of Vilmangala Thakur, which you probably all know so well. But here Prabhupada says, in Mahabharat, Krishna says, the whole speaker he says is different. In Mahabharat, Krishna says, when I was, he says, Krishna mam duravasinam. So another way you can say it, because it says long, hey, Krishna, mam, me, duravasinam, when I was far away from Krishna, which is actually more accurate to the Sanskrit, he says, Krishna, long A, mam, duravasinam. So Prabhupada translates, when I, mam, was far away from Krishna, my pure devotee. Interesting. It takes bhav to see reality, spiritual reality. To even know who's even saying what the speaker, what are they saying, or what's the intention, or what's the feelings between the two, or whatever, the ras. You can't even tell who's speaking. And obviously there's knowledge of Sanskrit by both parties. That's not enough, although it's certainly important. Deeper the knowledge, the better, more accurate. So this translation, which is quite all right, it can be seen that way, I suppose. Draupadi cried out, O Govinda. And Prabhupada is saying, Krishna says, when I was far away from Draupadi, Duravasinam, she cried out with the words, Hey Govinda. So it's true. I was far away, and she cried out, Hey Govinda. This call for me by Krishna, by Draupadi, has put me in her debt. And that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. So the Rina, I believe, is debt. That verse is there, Devarshi Bhutati Nirnim, 11th canto. The debt, Krishna's feeling, is my debt. And she cried out, and I wasn't there in a split second, I was there in 1 second. I didn't go fast enough. I paused. So he's feeling indebted to his devotee. And then this translation is the devotee's indebted to Krishna. Of course, it's true. You can't deny it. But this is very interesting. And now Prabhupada... Ah, it's interesting. Prabhupada's books and purports, all roads lead to Rome. But in Prabhupada's books, all roads lead to Raman. Not Rome, Raman. You know Raman? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, which is Raman, Radharaman, Raman, Hare Ram. Because you'll see, and that's sometimes people criticize, how is it that Bhaktivedanta Swami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Prad, Nisa Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Dasamita Sindhu, every book he writes, and every purport, it always ends up with chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I'm a professor, Hindology. I have 3 PhDs in Bengali, this, that, literature, Sahitya. Vyakaran, why? How is this? This verse, how does every verse talk about Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Draupadi's crying out and Krishna's feeling indebted. Now Prabhupada sees this citation from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this reference by Rupa Goswami Pad from Mahabharata to support the guna, the 64 quality of Krishna, that he's kritagya, grateful. So he's so grateful, he's grateful and he can't forget his gratitude. His gratitude is so great it becomes a debt. It's one thing to be, oh, I'm really grateful to you. But then you say, I'm indebted to you. And I can never forget my debt to you. And I will have to do whatever I can to repay that debt somehow, somewhere, some way. So this is his kritagya. Krishna himself is, by Krishna's statement in Mahabharata to his beloved Draupadi, he's indicating the eternality of gratitude, of kritagya, which Prabhupada puts into the definition. That he never forgets. A grateful person never forgets the activities or service of another. So Draupadi's whole life was dedicated to the pleasure and happiness of Krishna. He's a premi bhakta. And then, so this is what he's remembering. So now Prabhupada, this whole point is floating in this particular verse. Now Prabhupada gives a purport. Because between this verse, which Prabhupada's translating, which is what we heard is Prabhupada's translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 2.1.92. And then the next translation is Prabhupada's translation, in Nectar Devotion, is Prabhupada's translation to 2.1.93, which we see in both places. Another example of gratitude, which we'll read. But now in between these two verses is the tika, the purport. So taking this point, devotees crying out to the Lord. The Lord responds to his pure devotee. He can't forget that devotee. That devotee is bringing out his quality of gratitude, kritagya. He's eternally indebted to the devotee. So taking these concepts, the devotee and the Lord and the indebtedness and the gratitude and loving exchanges, then Prabhupada takes that and brings us to the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, and he speaks it. It's also simply an address to Krishna's energies. As Draupadi was addressing, calling out in great distress, crying like a child, like a sati without protection. She's crying out to Bhagavan, Govinda Damodara Madhaveti, Govinda. As she cried for Govinda, we should cry for Govinda in the Maha Mantra. Like Draupadi, like a child. But crying, that's the bottom line. That's the adhikara for chanting properly. The Maha Mantra is also an address to the Lord. I mean, the word address, of course, is correct. But what is the implied meaning? Did Draupadi merely address the Lord? Oh, Govinda. May I address the issue? Or I would like to address you, Mr. Smith. It wasn't like that. Her heart was leaping out of her mouth and great fear and anxiety and surrender. Govinda. So this type, simply an address to the Lord's energy. So to anyone who is constantly engaged in addressing the Lord and his energy, in other words, Radha and Krishna, we can only imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. Obliged means grateful. As he was, Draupadi cried out, Nam Bhajan. She cried out, Govinda. Says here, only Govinda. In a book, he's citing Govinda. And the word is there, O Govinda. Yad Govindeti Chukrosha. Yad Govindeti Chukrosha. Krishna, Mam Duravasinam. So she cried out, Nam, Shuddha Nam, Prem Nam. So much packed into that Nam. So Prabhupada, and Krishna immediately came and he never forgot that chanting. So in other instances, Prabhupada said that Krishna is so grateful, Krishna is so obliged and so grateful to his devotees that he never forgets even the littlest service rendered. Of course that point is there in a very philosophical way in the Gita, Neha Bikramo Nashosi Pratyavayo, Swapam Apisa Dharmasya. Says, Swapam Dharma. Krishna says, you do a little Dharma, I can't, it's always your eternal benefit. But that's the tattva. But in this exchange of Leela, you see the heart of the Lord coming through. In the Gita, there's heart, of course, but this verse is, okay, this is the truth. I can't forget what you've given, what you've done. But here he's showing an example that his forgetfulness is not something, an expression of his memory functions. I can't forget. You helped me out. Because you can say, you did something good. I can't forget it. Okay, you did some bhakti. Okay, here's some promotion. Don't become an animal. Tarani. I'll deliver you tarani from an animal birth. Take a human birth. Good family. Suchinam shimatam gehi. No, that's okay. That's some external, maybe a good arrangement. But it's heart deep. Heart deep gratitude. Heart deep not being able to forget. This is what Prabhupada's saying. Even a little service that we render with love towards Krishna, he can't forget it. Because your loving service may be so small, but it touches his heart in a small way. And that's why it's called devotional service, bhakti. It touches the heart. If it's coming from our heart, if our service rendered, the service expression that we're displaying towards Guru and Vaishnavas and Hari, if it is actually imbued with some type of bhakti, avas, or some type of genuine feeling of bhakti, then that touch of our heart will reach out and touch Krishna's heart, and he'll never forget it. He'll always be grateful. And we see, even I have god brothers that left this world, and I've been with them, and they have a very interesting career in this particular span of life, which we've observed. We don't know past nor future. But it appears that they were somewhat in a covered situation. But then at the end of life, they died with what they call flying colors. That's a slang term. All of a sudden, from nowhere, they became gained total recollection of Krishna and Prabhupada. And they were flooded with memories of Prabhupada, visions of Prabhupada. The holy name was coming spontaneously, and they're crying. And this is Krishna. He's grateful. Because at one point in this devotee's life, in this period of time, we can see the present time, the devotee, particular devotee, rendered wonderful, loving service to his guru. Okay, some dark hour was there, some dark time. Everybody has, or everybody is in, will have. But then Krishna, at the end, Krishna was there. And it's very encouraging, very faith-building to see. Well, if this devotee had such fortune, maybe there's some chance for me also. We can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged and grateful to his devotee. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord. Krishna, Sankarshan. That's love gravity, the force of love, divine sentiments. Whatever they are, mixed with this, that, the other. Okay, it's Karma Mishra Bhakti, Gyan Mishra Bhakti, so many varieties. But it's something Bhakti, because Guru has put Bhakti in the heart. Vaishnava has put Bhakti in the heart. So with that little grain of Bhakti we have, we mix it up and all, add all our adulteration, whatever mix up we do. Gyan, Karma, this, that. But it's still Bhakti. And Krishna says that he can never forget. It is clearly stated in this verse that anyone who addresses the Lord immediately attracts the attention of the Lord, who always remains obliged to him. If I can read this verse, 2.193, Rupa Goswami Pad gives further evidence to help us understand more of the jewel-like, this additional jewel-like quality of Nilamani Sri Krishna. He says, Yatava Anugatim ati puravam chintayan riksha moler akurata bahumanam shorir adhaya kanyam katam api kritam alpam vismaren nevasadu kim uttasa kalu sadu shreni chudagra ratnam. Translation. There's another example of Krishna's kritagya, or gratefulness. This must be, I would think, in the Krishna book, I suppose. That said, though Jambavan had offended Krishna, the Lord Krishna, remembering his service in the past, because he's kind of a Chiranjeev, Jambavan is serving the Lord, he's a great devotee of the Lord, and he serves Ram and Krishna. Jambavati offers his wife, his daughter. Remembering his service in Treta Yuga, when he assisted Ram in his battle with Ravana, and how Jambavan married his daughter to Krishna and respected him, because of all these things, then Krishna respected him. Since the well-bred, which means the cultured person, the educated cultured person, the well-bred person. Well-bred people, cultured, educated, refined gentlemen, gentle ladies, they never forget what little service is rendered to them. What then can be said of Krishna, who is the head jewel among all well-behaved persons? It says Chudamani. You know Chudamani. Chuda means the head. Chudagra Ratnam. And Prabhupada says, any honest person is obliged to a friend if he has been served by him. Nice. Deaf eloquence. Any honest person, well-bred means honest. Well-bred doesn't mean Rolex watch and Brooks Brothers suit or whatever. Doesn't mean fine clothes and good watch. But well-bred actually means honesty. This is the proof of your proper training that you're actually honest. Any honest person is obliged or grateful to a friend if he has been served, by him. So now Prabhupada, his translation is of this verse, and then we'll conclude today's discussion. And I very much appreciate the introductions or lead-ins that Prabhupada gives to these verses, because it's a book and it's not kind of so choppy as verse by verse, more scholastic presentation, which this book, that's the format of this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Pujipad Srila Bhano Swami. And that's perfect in its own right for what it serves. But as far as a book, this is a book, a summary study, but it's not less exact. But it flows from one point to the other, as books properly do. And we very peacefully and happily and comfortably transit from one point and one verse to the other, which is the expertise of the writer and communicator. And Prabhupada is expert in both writing and communicating. And Prabhupada says, another instance of Krishna's feeling of obligation is stated in connection with his dealings with Jambavan. When the Lord was present, in other words, when Lord Krishna was present as Lord Ramachandra, Jambavan, the great king of the monkeys, rendered very faithful service to Ramachandra and Treta Yuga. When the Lord again appeared as Lord Krishna, or say Bhagavan, Krishna married Jambavan's daughter, Jambavati, and paid him all respect that is usually given to superiors. So Jambavan, of course, was quite a bit older than Krishna, since he's been around for a few million years. And Krishna respected him like his father-in-law. Father-in-law is always generally older than the son-in-law. So he respected him like a senior because he bequeathed his daughter, Jambavati, to Krishna. Then he says this phrase, any honest person is obliged to his friend if some service has been rendered unto him. Since Krishna is a supreme honest personality, how can he forget an obligation to his servitor? So of course these qualities have different applications to different devotees at different levels. They have different impact and prabhav and create different stirrings in the mind and heart of the individual devotee according to his adhikar and his rati. But at least for us struggling sadhaks or even aspiring sadhaks, we read these points of Krishna's honesty and his gratitude, and we're certainly attracted to dedicate our lives to such a grateful, honest person and to such a transparent person as Sri Krishna, who always loves and never demands, and always forgets our shortcomings and blesses us. No matter what we do, he never kicks us away. So these are very inspiring and faith-strengthening qualities to hear it from our particular level, to hear about these wonderful transcendental qualities of Krishna, which are, of course, unlimited in proportion. There's 64 listed, but they're oceanic, they're fathomless. You can't reach the depth of how grateful he is. This verse and that verse is not enough to show the extent and the unlimited extent of his gratitude. So when we hear verses like this, there's different responses we can take. But one response we can take to try to improve our own bhajan is to pray that Krishna, I'm a pretty selfish person. I not just speak for myself. I'm a very selfish person, very egocentric person, egoistic person, with little care for others. And forget everything. And so many people do good things and I forget it all the next day. So when I see this and I think, well, Krishna, I'm supposed to be part and parcel of you. You said that in Bhagavad Gita, but I must be a really distant relative. A really distant relative, like your 10th cousin, 100th cousin removed, because I don't seem to be displaying any of the characteristics of my connection with you. But on a day like this, I would like to pray to you sincerely that I really increase my gratefulness to all my well-wishers now and to come. And that I will try to search my files and my memory files and recover all those great people that have helped me and pray to them to forgive me if I mistreated them and forgive me for forgetting them. And pray that they will bless me even wherever they are. That they will continue to bless me, as they once did. They once blessed me in my life, and propelled me forward on the bhakti marg. So again, I recall their memory, and I recall their kindness and their teachings and their help and their friendly dealings, and I beg that they remember me positively again and my sojourn to perfection. So this practice itself is extremely purifying. It comes under the category of Vaishnav Smaran and Prarthana. So on that particular note, we'll close discussion, and tomorrow hopefully we can continue some.